Christmas is over. Parties for 2017 is no doubt over as well. But the headache of paying for the presents and parties of the year no doubt has just begun. Creditors are beginning to send letters. The issue for you is, can you afford to pay for the credit cards and loans that you have used to pay for the festive season? Does the responsibility, however, solely lie on individuals to deal with their debts? What are the responsibilities of creditors? And what support be provided by those individuals who are in debt? To find answers to these questions, welcome to Money Matters on East London Radio, presented by me, Ripon Ray. Today I have for you Liam Carlisle, Credit Control Manager from Lewisham Credit Union, who has extensive knowledge of giving advice, and we have Rosalind Matthews, who has sought advice from Toynbee Hall, a legal advice centre. She's to explain her journey in her own words. So, let's start with Carlisle. Hi, Carlisle.
Hi, Ripon. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Before we start the journey of the financial institution, tell us about yourself.
I'm a come here Londoner, so we moved in the mid 70s to come to college in Holloway Road, North London. I used to work for the local authority called Tower Hamlets, which I'm sure you've heard of, and I went to college in Mare Street, Hackney. So I went to a technical college there in Hackney College. I've been working for local authorities and also for financial institutions called credit unions for now the best part of 30 years.
Then you're the perfect man to answer our questions. Let's start with this. Now, we know that creditors have to lend, but in order to be a reasonable lender, how do they go about obtaining the license to be a lender?
Licensing is done by different licensing awarding bodies. So, for instance, you are aware that there's been many more new banks recently. Mm-hmm. Metro Bank will be named one, but also Marks and Spencers now have a bank, Sainsbury's now have a bank, etc. Before they can be given a licence, they must prove themselves that they are a worthy institution, organisation, competent, with all the skills required to actually give consumer credit agreements. And Ripon, I don't have to tell you, you know what a consumer credit agreement is. So, to put that into English, if I want to go to Marks and Spencers and apply for a loan, they have to have passed all of the requirements by the authorities to prove that they are an appropriate and trustworthy and good body to be able to lend me some money. Then they issue a consumer agreement called a loan agreement. It has to comply to the law. I have 28 days, I think it's 28 days, in which I can actually say I don't want it anymore and return it, etc. So there are certain things and requirements that you need to do. You have to go to a license awarding body. If you are practicing without a license to comply to these things, then you are an illegal lender or organisation. And actually the ones I've mentioned are not. They are all appropriate and good lenders.
So let's say they've set up an institution to lend. And now they're ready to lend. In order to lend to individuals, what should they be looking out for?
You mean for them to do better and good business?
Yes.
Right. Again, I'm going to use myself as an example. I go into this institution and I say to them, I'm just off the street down the road here. Can I borrow £10,000? Would you give me £10,000 if I asked for that?
Certainly not.
Thank you. I would like you not to do that. Yeah. So they would then ask me to prove, first of all, who I am, to prove that I am resident somewhere, because if I'm not resident, how are they going to be able to contact me or whatever? To prove perhaps that I have a financial income enough to sustain the amount that I'm borrowing. And one of the discussions that we're going to have later on with our colleague sitting here is that should we have been lent to at that time? And some people, Ripon, get offered money when actually they have actually indicated that they can't really afford to pay their bills now, they can't afford to pay a new loan or a new commitment in the future. Some would argue, Ripon, that any institution doing that, whether it be a payday lender, whether it be one of the home credit companies or even whether it be one of the big banks that's doing it, should not have given the money in that instance because the person was giving you information that they couldn't really afford to pay it back. In law, you could say it's an unenforceable loan if I can prove that I couldn't afford to pay that back, but you still gave me the money. So therefore, what are they looking for? That was your question. They're looking that they can find out who I am, that I have a credit rating, and we'll talk about credit ratings later. A credit rating is when you've shown that you've had some credit, but also you've shown that you've actually paid it back well. That will give you a good credit rating. If you have credit and you're not paying that back, and that could include your council tax, it might include a loan, it could include credit cards, it could include any authorised loan, proper and duly authorised loan with a company, a registered company, that has not been paid according to the agreement. That will impair or affect negatively or badly your credit rating. So this company has now looked at me, looked at where I'm living, and looked at my income and ability to pay them back.
Okay, so you borrowed the money.
Good. So
fantastic.
I came out good. Good.
Yes.
Good.
Obviously, you borrowed the money, but let's be honest about it. Sometimes things do go wrong. You may lose your job. You know, something drastic has happened at home. You've separated from your partner. So as a result of various incidences and accidents, you are unable to afford to pay. So in a setting like this, what should the lender be doing?
So actually, there's duty and responsibilities both on the lender and the borrower, isn't there? So we just want to talk about the lender at the moment.
Of course. Yeah, for now then we're happy to move to the debtor.
There's duties and responsibilities on all of us that engage in a contract. If I make you a promise and I break my promise, I'm breaking my word. If I write down on a piece of paper that I will commit myself to paying back £50 a month, and in 2 years' time, for a five-year period, and in 2 years' time I cannot pay £50 a month, my word is being broken. So the lender would suddenly find that they're not getting all of that money back. So it could be a credit card, you're not paying your credit card bill. It could be that you've borrowed money. It could be that you've been to a high street lender. It could be that you've been to a payday lender. That's one of those people that are on the high streets, money shops and other organisations. I said I was going to pay £50 back, but suddenly all the things that you've mentioned, actually I was ill. So I wasn't earning as much money as what I used to earn. My children have now grown up, so I'm now an old man, and my children have left home, and I'm not getting two lots of child benefit coming in because they're now mature, and I still can't afford to pay that £50, or I've lost my job. So I've lost income. The lender will then find out later that suddenly my payment has stopped. It is beholding upon the lender to try and contact me. So therefore, I've told them where I live. That's what I did in the application. Mm-hmm. I gave them a telephone number. They've written to me several times before I fell behind. So they must now try and contact me. So I'm leaving it there. It's their job to try and find out what's happening to me.
Okay. So, of course, now the lender has a responsibility to make sure that the lender lends reasonably. Also, lender to respond to the individual who is in debt reasonably as well when the lender finds out that something is wrong. So let's say that has happened, and of course the lender was unable to ascertain the person who they had lent the money to. So in that setting, what option does the lender have?
It is a little bit limited now, because what you're saying is not only have circumstances changed, but we're perhaps talking many years down the road from when the first agreement was made. So what the lender must try to do is establish contact back with that person. But also, let us say that they can't establish the contact. Let us say that the person has left a home. It could have been a marital home. Mm-hmm. It could have been a local authority home or a rented home, and they've moved on. The lender actually is obliged after a set period of time to write to the person and say, we are now registering this loan as being in default. Mm-hmm. It is a requirement of the lender to inform the person that as the consumer agreement, as the loan agreement has now been in default, they have to be written to. Now, you could say to me, but I'm no longer living there. I'm not getting the letter. Doesn't matter. It is the lender's responsibility to have tried to have contacted the person. And if the person in the contract doesn't inform the lender where they've moved to, how will they get a new letter? Mm-hmm. However, They can also do traces, as I know you know. You can do searches to see, has Ripon actually tried to get credit elsewhere? Has Liam tried to get credit elsewhere? Has Rose tried to get credit elsewhere? And if they have, that will leave a footprint. And that is what credit ratings are all about. Right. When you ask for something, you actually come up on somebody's list somewhere.
Okay, we'll go to credit rating just a bit later.
Yes.
But going back to defaulting and the initial creditor not being able to obtain the money, at what point does a debt collection company get involved?
That depends on the procedures and policies of each company. Not every company will use a debt collecting agency. Not every company will try and use a county court judgment. We need to understand that there are very large debts which actually need to be satisfied or it will impair the business. The business could go bad. May I bring up a company that went bad, Northern Rock?
Sure.
You heard of Northern Rock, and Northern Rock was a fantastic company. It was lending money to lots of people. It was in the north. It was a building society that changed into a private mortgaging company. And it kept on borrowing money from institutions. And it kept on borrowing money from institutions, from banks, and from the Bank of England and various other aspects and places, so it could lend to a wide number of people to give them mortgages. The sad thing was that the money they were borrowing from institutions was very expensive, and the people who had been lent to couldn't necessarily afford to pay back all of their payments. So there was a deficit there in the payments, and there was negative equity was occurring on these loans. So in actual fact, the business, as you know, went bankrupt. So it became insolvent. It had lent out too much and it wasn't getting back enough. So what the company's got to do is it's got to try and be a responsible lender and not overlend and not lend to the wrong person. And if they have lent, make sure they do everything in their power to legally get their money back.
But going back to debt collection companies again,
that is one way of getting it, you see.
So tell me more about their role.
Okay. So you know I've said that the company can't just send a debt collector round to you. They must notify you that we're a little bit upset that you have broken your agreement. And by breaking an agreement, that's called a default. You are now in default. It can then say in that communication, whether it's been received or not received, it can say in that communication, these are the steps that we're intending to take. We would prefer you to come to an arrangement to pay it back. That's great. That's a voluntary arrangement, not a legal voluntary arrangement. That's a voluntary arrangement for you to pay it back. Or we might consider going to county court. If we go to county court, you will then have a county court judgment against you. Again, that will affect your credit rating. Or we may actually offer this debt to a debt collecting agency and let them go and collect it on our behalf. And they will take 20 or 30 or 40% of the proceeds of what they collect. So that's a way of getting some of their money back, but not all of it.
Fantastic. Okay, so having talked about debt collection company, now let's move to credit rating. We've briefly covered earlier on. So what's the role of a credit reference agency?
Right. Credit reference agencies, as you know, are independent organisations. So I'm going to mention three, okay? So two I will mention, Experian and Equifax. So they're two. There are many others. But what happens is that everybody in our society, which is an open society, we don't have that many secrets in this society, everyone in our society that gets a catalogue, that gets a credit card, that gets a loan from a high street lender or an authorised regulated lender, that means they write down who they're lending money to, how much it's for and what the commitment is, etc. Or perhaps falls into mortgage arrears, because that's another form of loan, or hire purchase arrears. So hire purchase could be to purchase a car. All of these are registered. Now, I'm going to tell you that over 90% of most people are able to carry out their contracts. And that is why we have lots of businesses in this country. Because the banks lend money to people, the hire purchase companies lend money to people that want to buy cars, the catalogues lend money to people who are paying on a payback system, but they bought the goods, but they're paying back later. And the credit cards are using their money for a variety of reasons, holidays and other things, purchasing things. They've lent them the money. They will get their money back. Some of them are paying their money back much slower than others. That means they're getting their money later. They might be incurring charges and things like that. But I am saying to you that most of the businesses in this country are good businesses They assess the risk of everybody that comes to them to borrow money, and they realise that they are not going to get 100% of their money back. I don't know any business in this country that gives out 100% and gets back 100%. If you know one, please let me know. I might join them.
We'll definitely do that, definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you, Liam. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. Now we have Rose Matthews. Rose, thank you for coming to the studio. I understand that you sought advice because you had troubled times. Tell us briefly about your journey before you sought advice for that.
I think the journey sort of started several years ago. I would say that, the sort of picture of my situation was I was a single parent and part-time working, juggling between trying to get a sort of to work and, you know, home life, and basically paying my way with what I, you know, managing up to a point. But obviously, I think sometimes every month there might be something that cropped up that, you know, because I wasn't working full time, expenses that cropped up that I didn't manage to meet. And I think things just start to spiral because whether it be with a bank account or I wanted to manage it myself. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go and seek advice necessarily. I went to just borrow some money and to tide me over and to pay back. And of course the payback with the repayments then start to become extra. So, and then my income and the repayments didn't match up. So it's, and my mindset was definitely not au fait with the system well enough. I felt that I was kind of quite alone with it. I didn't know how to deal with this debt problem. It was stressful. And then, but the letters, obviously, you know, the reminders of repayments, etc., kind of were there all the time. And I went to payday. I went to these payday institutions, lenders. And yes, it got into high interest repayments, which was even worse. All the time you think you can manage it. So it's very shameful. I'm interested that it's so shameful, this feeling of getting into debt, not keeping up with it. And it's stressful then trying to juggle it. So that was the journey. I mean, the process went in different directions, but I mean, getting to the point where I needed to go and talk to somebody and debt advice. I did actually go to, at one time, to CAB. And then eventually I did come to you, to Toynbee Hall. Trying to deal with these creditors. I tried myself to deal with the creditors initially. That was the idea. And that was fine, and we tried to make arrangements. But then, as I said, human things, accidents, things, life events, for me personally, happened. And I felt it difficult dealing with with creditors. So I needed some support, some professional support. So that's why going to a debt advisory service for me was... And I could feel that I wasn't going to be judged. I wasn't sure if I was going to be judged or not. I didn't know. I just felt this sort of burden of having failed and feeling a sense of failure, feeling ashamed, feeling the stigma. And also I was kind of caught in this poverty trap of my life, really.
What do you mean?
Poverty trap of, well, being part-time on benefits, part-time working, sometimes not being able to actually work, so having to deal with the benefit system, which in itself is quite a skill, and then on top of that, having debts that you're, you know, having creditors to deal with. So the whole feeling felt, the whole picture was difficult.
So, I mean, in terms of looking at from your mental frame of mind, Were you having sleepless nights? Or, I mean,
right, at a personal level, yeah, it starts to become very, well, I said stressful. You feel ashamed, you feel isolated. It's just a sense of, and also I don't know the system. I don't know this, dealing with these financial institutions. I feel that they can basically write to you very threateningly sometimes, and you don't feel you have any rights, and you don't feel you know, as a, obviously I chose to ask them for money, and of course they're doing their job, but as a consumer, I didn't know what my consumer rights were. I didn't know if there was any methods of negotiating repayments. You know, I wasn't able to do that myself, so I didn't have that knowledge, financial resource. I felt like a lamb going to the slaughter. Within this financial, you know, which we have to deal with, financial world, which is one of the things that I feel is, you know, in part that journey was for me to learn about this on an emotional level, and try to understand more about what my rights are. But then obviously trying to find professional support where we say, look, this is another way you can deal with creditors, was a step up and sort of opened another door where I could get the help of saying, well, look, you know, you do have these rights, and we can choose to contact these lenders in a particular way with a particular proposal. And that sort of relieved me. So I felt a sense of relief. I felt de-stressed, and I felt I was sharing the burden, but also felt that maybe my life would be more manageable financially because it was more realistic what I was being able to offer.
But also, Rupa, many people that come to me, and I hear what Rose said, feel that it's overwhelming them. And so therefore, they haven't got an answer as to who to go to. And I loved what you said. By going to the CAB, even though you didn't take that up at that time, what you were doing was you were moving towards a solution. And then Toynbee Hall and the advice service agency that they offer, or perhaps a friendly institution, whether it be your bank or maybe a building society or a credit union, something like that, or the CAB, as you said, or you can go online and you can do things like Step Change is a debt charity. So there are many, many organisations. But until you take the first step, you'll never get to the next step. And you did the first step. So you feel overwhelmed. So you think, because you don't understand the service and the systems, you don't understand your choices. You do. You had choices to borrow money. You should have choices to pay back your money. But there is a choice that you may not pay back all the money in the way that your lender first of all lent it to you. You may come to an arrangement, but you took the decision.
Yeah, because that's because, as I said, your income can change because of a series of events, and for me, that's that happened, and so you're up in the air then with your repayment scheme, your repayment arrangement. So, and that's when it gets really worrying and stressful because, you know, resources aren't there as they were.
So, I mean, once you sought advice, tell us the steps that the advisor or I had taken for you.
Yes. Well, firstly, obviously, you've got to come armed with, you know, what are, who are these creditors?
Absolutely.
You know, how much are the amounts?
So who were your creditors?
And, I mean, they're payday, you know, the payday institutions.
Fantastic. Okay.
And then they were, it was like phone okay. companies. Generally, those were my... main ones. I mean, there were a couple of ones that I actually managed to pay off, but I don't know, I can't remember who they were now. But at a certain point, there were utilities. There was one utility, yeah, the water utility. So there were those that I had to deal with.
And before. Then what happened? So you've identified all of your creditors, and then?
And then we worked out my income and did a financial statement of my income and what I, you know, what I had coming in, what was going out, so I could see what my end of the week balance was, and was there, what was realistic offer, what realistically, you helped me decide realistic what sort of offer I could make to these creditors.
Well, that's it. I think you covered it all, really. The purpose is to seek advice. And by seeking advice, you will know what options are available to you. And of course, in your case, I remember it, we chose a minimum payment for now until your circumstances changes or if you want to think of any other options. So, of course, yes, that's how it is. So, I mean, Liam, from the point of view of the creditor, when Rose contacts you, what should you be doing?
Okay, well, what's really interesting, credit unions are all over London now. So we have got, I think, over 100,000 members in London in credit unions. There are very big credit unions here in East London, which I really want your listeners to go and investigate. But I've got about 12,000 members in my credit union. About a third of those borrow money. That actually means, listeners, that two-thirds only want to use it to save money, which is fantastic. So they save money with me. That money is secure because it's part of the financial compensation scheme. We're regulated, which I was talking about earlier. Now, of my third of the members that want to borrow money, as Rose was saying to me, some people's circumstances change. Their income goes down, their health changes, etc. It is up to the responsibility of the person that has borrowed money to contact their lender. So if in Rose's case she has three lenders, a utility bill, a credit card and one other organisation, a payday lender, she has to contact those lenders. Now, in Rose's case, she contacted them through you, Ripon, and Toynbee Hall, which is an excellent service. So she contacted them, you helped her, you put the letters together. Those lenders then have to respond to what you've said. So long as you're telling the truth, which we know you were telling the truth, your income is such, they have to reasonably consider your offer. But something else happens. It is unreasonable for them to continue putting charges and building that bill up. And I think this is it's a line in the sand, if you want to look at it in that way. So I can't then keep on adding interest to my customers' accounts when they have proven to me that their income has gone from £850 a month to £250 a month. I can't add more interest. If I do, I am not treating them fairly. But it's not just credit unions that do that. Banks do that, credit companies do that, credit card companies, hire purchase, loads of organisations do it. But what Ripon has told you and what you have said to me is that you must approach a guidance advice agency or approach your creditors yourself. Otherwise, how would your creditors know? And then there'll be an appropriate response to your claim that you can't afford it.
So the point of it all is really is that we all have to take steps. I mean, in your case, Rose, obviously you have to take steps to manage your debt, of course, and from the point of view of the creditor has to respond to an individual when individual is facing that financial hardship. So that's pretty much is the moral of the story, really, is when you are in debt, don't suffer in silence, do seek advice, such as advice from Toynbee Hall or any other advice services. So thank you, Liam and Rose, for taking part on Money Matters podcast with East London Radio. And thank you, listeners, for listening to my monthly podcast.